Today we're going to be taking on the issue of twisted scriptures, which we often do on Thursdays. Twisted scriptures, where we look at the scriptures, many people will take certain scriptures one way, some other groups will take it another way. What is God's way? We'll have some thoughts on the subject of, can you lose your salvation? And we'll get some points of view from differing schools of thought. I'm also going to ask you where we can find some kind of common ground as believers as well. If you would welcome with me Dan Corner. He is a director of Evangelical Church, and he is with us today. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. Now, we're not talking about, oops, my salvation. Where did I put that? I've lost it. Have you seen my salvation? Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about not really knowing and oops, where is my salvation? We're talking about something a little deeper.
Yes, we are.
Well, work with me on this. Then I am interested in hearing how your position, and you have a position of what's called the conditional security of the believer. What exactly does that mean, Dan?
What that means is after a person becomes biblically born again, he or she has been given conditions in the scriptures that we have to continue to believe on Jesus, that if we stop believing, we're no longer in grace, we can fall from grace, we can die spiritually. And a saving belief or a saving faith in Jesus, according to James chapter 2, will always have works with it. Not that you're saved by works, because you're not, but a saving faith will have works with it. Consequently, if somebody backslides into certain types of sin, there's different degrees of sin. A lot of people stumble over that fact, but nonetheless, there are different degrees of sin. But if a person who was truly born again would backslide into certain types of sin, such as cited in Revelation 21:8 or 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, Ephesians 5, 5 through 7, that person then is back on the road to hell. As we're warned repeatedly in Ezekiel, we're told that in the New Testament, Romans 8, 13, James chapter 5, 19 and 20, etc.
Okay, let's talk about what these certain types of sins are.
All right, let me name a few of them for you. In Revelation 21, 8, it says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice the magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now notice, it says there, the sexually immoral, it speaks of the idolaters, and of course in New Testament times, idolatry has been expanded to include not just bowing before images, but also greed. Greed is idolatry according to the Bible, and this type of sin, not only does it mention it there in Revelation 21:8, nor is it mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament, the sins of worry, not being completely humble and gentle, not overflowing with thanksgiving. These are all sins as well, but they're not sins that will lead to death like John wrote of. 1 John 5, 16 and 17 says there's sin that leads to death, sin that does not lead to death. People that teach eternal security, they understand that to be sin that leads to physical death. That's not true. It's really speaking of sin that would lead to spiritual death, and that's the same thing the Apostle Paul referred to in Romans 8, 13. He said, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Now, he wrote that to the saints at Rome, people that had already been born again. And he wanted them to know the same truth that's reiterated all through Ezekiel five times. God first gave that command to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. And when it was violated, that's when Adam and Eve died spiritually. And this same type of principle, the same fact, holds true for us today.
If you could reiterate that for me in a sentence form so we know exactly where you stand, that would really help me out.
All right, it's this. The righteous can die spiritually by turning to evil.
Okay. And then I guess the biggest argument, and I think the most compelling argument in that, is that if it were possible, we would fall away. But is it truly possible if we are a new creation? If I am a butterfly, can I go back and be a worm?
Absolutely, you can go back according to the Bible, because we have numerous examples of people that were born again and they went back. And even though you might argue from worm to butterfly, caterpillar, however you would want to word it, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. The issue is that a new creation can be deceived by the devil. That's why he's trying to devour Christians. When Peter said that in 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 and 8, that the devil prowls around throughout the earth. Go ahead.
Eternal destruction, not just physical destruction. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that spiritual destruction as well, somebody that could end up in the lake of fire according to other scriptures as well.
Okay. We're going to continue this conversation. Dan Corner is with us. Yes. He is our guest today. We're talking in Twisted Scriptures, and he says that, well, look out, believers. You may think that you're secure in Christ. Just may not be so. He says there's a condition to your security. Thank you for staying with us.
It's good to be with you.
Yeah. As we talk today, and I'm glad that you could give us some time today, you have a book, The Believer's Conditional Security. Now, why is it that if we are saved by grace, we are not kept by grace?
Well, the Bible clearly says elsewhere in Galatians chapter 5, 2 through 4, it says that you can fall from grace. So if you can fall from grace, and Paul was writing to people who had already been born again, they had received the Spirit of God, they had received the true plan of salvation. So apparently Paul believed that true believers could fall from grace. So that type of argument is not in the Bible. You will never see in the Bible that we're kept by grace. That's not in there.
Okay. Yet we do know that if the okay, here's an example, and there is plenty of examples in your book where you take on one of the most popular scriptures used to show the eternal security of a believer, and that is John 10:26-29. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And you have some examples of what you say shows that this is not necessarily a scripture for eternal security. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's welcome Felipe. He is with us. Welcome, Felipe.
Hello, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's on your mind today?
I was going to ask your guest a question for clarification. Does he believe that after you losing it, you can get it back again?
Yes, I do. I believe the Bible is very clear on that. There's at least three passages in the New Testament. Luke chapter 15, 24 and 32, it tells us, my son was dead, he's alive again, was lost and is found. So Jesus taught the prodigal was able to get it back. The same truth is taught in James chapter 5, 19 and 20, that if he would go back to where he was before he wandered from the truth, that his soul would be saved from death. And finally, as far as the listing is concerned, in Romans chapter 11, 19 through 23, if a person would become an unbeliever, they could, and change and become a believer, they could be grafted back in again, according to the Bible.
So you're not talking about temporarily disobedience. You're talking, if the prodigal son left, he had to lose his salvation. It's not some type of drifting away, but it had to be a losing of the salvation. So if he died, I mean, clarify, please, for me. So if he died at that moment, he would just go to hell, basically.
Okay, unfortunately, I don't know if you're on a speakerphone or what the problem is. I'm not able to catch everything that you're saying. Perhaps Michelle could summarize what you just said, and then I'll answer that way.
Yeah, I'm wondering if during those times he would die.
What he's asking is, then if he were to die before repenting, would he go to heaven or would he go to hell?
Well, the Bible says there's different degrees of sin. If you would commit the sin of worry, that's not going to keep you out of heaven. Remember, I said before that there's sin that leads to death, sin that does not lead to death. So what you need to do, you need to make sure that you're walking with a pure heart before God. And also, this is all related to this issue too. You need to forgive people that sin against you, or your sins after being converted will not be forgiven, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, and also in Matthew chapter 18. So this is very significant. That's one of the chief temptations of the devil, that he will tempt people to get into unforgiveness in their heart. So we need to be mindful of that too. We need, if you read the Bible, forget what you've been taught by the eternal security teachers. Go to the New Testament, believe what it says, change accordingly, and you remain true to God. You remain humble, you forgive people that sin against you, and you obey God. Not that you're saved by your obedience, but Jesus said in Luke 8:21, my mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and they put it into practice. So if you're not putting God's word into practice, don't be deceived. You're really not Jesus' spiritual family at all.
And Dan, what of the scriptures that talk about once you've tasted this grace and you fall away, is there any hope for you again? No.
Okay, well, you might be thinking about the one scripture, unfortunately, that people misunderstand from Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6. They cannot be renewed again by repentance. But the Bible tells us very clearly, if you would check the Greek there, it's not hypothetical. They had already fallen away. And then if you would check the context of first century Christianity and the pressures that the Hebrew Christians were under, they were under the pressure to commit eternal sin, to go back to the synagogues. And to commit eternal sin is not forgivable, according to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 3. And by committing eternal sin, they would be counting the blood that sanctified them as an unholy thing and insulting the Spirit of grace. And that's the same thing that's referred to in Hebrews chapter 10. So what we have here is a serious problem. The position of a conditional security has been misrepresented and twisted. People say that if you reject eternal security, you're not believing on grace, you're trying to earn your own salvation. That's false. That's absolutely false. All my faith and trust is in Jesus, not in anything I am doing or ever hope to do or have done in the past. You mentioned a verse before, Michelle. Let me quickly comment on that. You said in John chapter 10, verse 28, you read that scripture, no man will pluck you out of my hand, etc. And that's absolutely the truth. But the context shows from verse 27 that Jesus' sheep are those that continue to follow him. And those are the only ones that Jesus referred to that will never be plucked out of his hand, that will never perish, that he continues to give eternal life to. And that's a continuous tense there in the Greek as well. He continues to give eternal life to such a person as that. That does not refer to somebody that backslides. To say that refers to a backslider is absolutely, totally misused, it's out of context, and it's a deadly, damnable distortion of the Word of God.
All right, Philippi, did you want to continue your comment?
As far as the twisted twisted interpretation of the Bible that you don't lose your salvation, I mean, he's really written off most of the reformers and the people upon whom he believes, but, you know, of course he's going to deny that. My question is, does your guest believe... do you sin daily? How many times a day do you think you sin?
Okay, you're asking me how many times a day do I sin. Let me answer that question two ways. Number one, if I'm the most vile, evil, devilish person that ever came on any radio station, it would not change the way the Bible reads, nor would it change the arguments that I presented and the scriptures that I gave.
Okay,
number two.
If you could just answer, yes, I do, or
do you
no,
believe
I do.
That you sin daily?
Well, it's not necessarily every day, because we could resist the devil and he'll flee. I don't have to sin. That's one of the false concepts of eternal security, that you have to sin all the time.
Asking if you are. And I don't think people with eternal security say that you have to sin all the time. I think he's just asking you.
Yes, they do. They really do teach that way, and they teach it based on Romans chapter 7.
I didn't just fall off the turnip truck yesterday. Not everyone teaches that, sin all the time. But if we could, just for the interest of time, Dan, if you don't mind, I think if you could just answer the question, if you sin or if you don't.
Yes, I'll be glad to answer that, but before I answer that, absolutely, positively, all eternal security teachers, with no exception, they do teach Romans 7, 14 through 25 is Paul who sinned all the time. That's what they teach. You must sin all the time. Paul did evil continuously. He could not do the good he wanted to do.
Okay, now, so, for example, do you believe, let's say this week, today is Thursday, do you truly believe that you've sinned throughout the week that would really offend God?
Okay, Michelle, would you repeat what he just said, please?
He was wondering if you do sin, and if you sin, do you make a sin that, do you sin in a way that would offend God? I think he's trying to clarify,
this week,
and
for
I think
example.
I think since people don't know who you are necessarily, Dan, if you could indulge that simply because it helps in knowing where you're coming from and putting into perspective the things that you're sharing with us.
Okay.
If anyone's trying to attack you.
What I am, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'm saved by grace. I'm following Jesus. The Bible does not say that you have to sin. The Bible says you can resist the devil. The Bible says you can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Understanding that, I think he just wanted a simple yes or no to the question.
And I think I have answered that already.
I didn't hear the yes or the no. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right. I didn't answer with a yes or no. I answered in other ways.
That?
I'm sorry?
Could you do that with a yes or a no?
I said I did not answer with a yes or no. I answered in a different way. I said there's different types of sin. There's sin that does not lead to death. I said worry was a sin that would not lead to death.
I did hear you, but did you not want to answer with a yes or a no? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, for me to say that I worry, does that change anything?
Can I have a follow-up question, please?
Yes, you may. And then we're going to move on, Philip, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So, do you think, let's assume, right, hypothetical situation that in the last month your guest, let's say, sinned one sin, for example, really, let's be really conservative, only once, that would really offend God. So, if he were to die at that moment, indeed his theory would come true that he would end up somewhere else besides heaven.
Well, I thank you very much for your comment.
Thank you.
Dan Korner is with us. And we're going to just take a moment, listen to news. And Dan, do you have a moment to stay with us?
Yes, I do.
All right, I appreciate that. We're taking on the eternal security of the believer versus the conditional security of the believer. Dan Korner is our guest, and he is with us, and so is Bob and Everett. Bob, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I was going to call because I don't agree with this guy totally. And I was going to bring out a point in 1 Corinthians 3 where Paul is talking to carnal Christians, but he calls them brethren. And I don't think you can call people that are not saved brethren. And then in 11 to 15, he explains gold, silver, and precious stone type Christian, and then your wood, hay, and stubble Christian. And the wood, hay, and stubble Christian, his works are going to be burned up by fire, but yet he will still be saved. So I don't agree with this guy totally.
All right. And what do you have to say, Dan?
Well, what I have to say about that is very simple. All we would have to do is go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 22. That's the only time in the entire Bible where you will be able to read how rewards are lost. Jesus told us there in Matthew 6 how rewards will come. He mentioned in particularly praying, fasting, and giving to the poor. But you have to do it with the right motive. If not, you will lose your reward. Unfortunately, the eternal security teachers, I like to call them what Jude says they are. They change grace into a license for immorality. What they have done, they use that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 passage, and they say that you'll be saved, but your rewards will burn up. It doesn't say why they'll be burned up there, so they insert something according to their theology that they want people to believe. They want people to believe that you can backslide, that you can be a drunkard, a liar, a thief, a serial murderer, and you will remain saved, and that is not what that Bible verse is saying. It's only saying that they'll lose their rewards.
Just a moment, hon. To be fair, it's not... I think you put everyone in a basket and say, everyone believes this. Everyone who doesn't believe like this believes that, and I don't think that's necessarily the correct approach.
Please correct me and show me who doesn't believe that way.
Me?
Okay, well, you're a real exception. If you don't believe that way, then let me ask you this. If you believe that you're going to live holy and godly, what do you do about all these eternal security people out there that interpret Romans chapter 7, 14 through 25 as Paul continually doing evil, and they say that's the normal Christian life? What do you do about that?
No one says that that's a normal Christian life. Doing evil is not the normal Christian life. Sorry to inform you. I don't think you might want to get out in those circles more, because I've been in many churches that preach the security of the believer. I've not heard anyone stand up and say, go ahead, go out and sin. You're going to be just fine.
They don't have to say that. The way they teach John chapter 10, verse 28, and other scriptures gives the very clear impression that there is nothing that will interfere with your entrance into God's kingdom. You could backslide like David. Now, this is right in the Calvinistic confession, the Westminster confession, and they refer to the elect, and they say that the elect can go astray, and they can continue in those grievous sins for a while. And they're talking in particularly, they cite David as an example, somebody who committed adultery and murder. And these people, all of them, there's no exception. They all say that David remained saved in his adultery and murder. Michelle, do you believe that David remained saved in his adultery and murder?
Question that he wanted, Bob needs to get going, so I'm going to allow Bob to finish his question. Bob?
Yeah, well, I just had one more comment about Lot. Lot went into quite a situation of perversion and homosexuality and everything else, and yet God saved him out of that as perverted as the situation as he was in. So, and what Lot did, you can see his sins very obviously, but God still saved him out of that city.
Okay. Oh, I thank you very much, Bob, for being with us today. And in the interest of time, Dan, I really do appreciate you being with us today and presenting a point of view.
Can I answer real quickly? Yeah, let me answer real quickly. Number one, Michelle, I'd like to hear your answer. Do you believe that David remained saved in his adultery and murder? And then I'll answer what Bob said about Lot.
Let me say this. I believe that my God is saved me through his grace. He gave me the ability and gives me continually the ability every day to do good works. It's not, of course, as you and I both believe.
That's not the question. The question is, did David remain saved, or did David lose his salvation when in adultery and murder?
I believe that in that situation, that he was a man who understood God. He was a man after...
But did he lose his salvation?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, well, you see, you're changing grace into a license for immorality. You said before you're an exception. You're not an exception. You're doing exactly the same thing. You are painting a picture for the people that's listening to your radio broadcast. You can go and commit adultery and murder and remain a Christian. That's a license for immorality, a damnable heresy. And you need to change that, because your soul, just for preaching that, is in jeopardy.
Okay, well, my soul may be in jeopardy, but I will tell you this. I believe that every day, including you, you sin. And I think that any sin that we commit is an offense to God. Even our righteousness, as a filthy rags, when we do it outside of the grace of God.
But there's sin that does not lead to death.
Outside of the grace of God, then we are an offense to a holy God. My righteousness is imputed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens.
Mine is too.
Faith in him.
But you could lose that righteous standing according to what John said. It says in 1 John chapter 3, 7 and 8, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. 1 John 3, 7 and 8.
Own works, and I'm going to put faith in my own ability to keep my salvation. Honey, you are absolutely right.
I'm not asking you to do that.
Own ability to keep my salvation, Dan, I would have to agree with you. I'm not going to be able to keep it. If I'm going to put faith in God, well, then that's a different thing. And I'm really happy to be able to expound through the scriptures, look through it, because I don't have a problem. If I'm wrong, I want to know it. I want to be able to study the Bible, and I want to be able to see what it is so. Now, we don't have to argue. Voices don't have to be raised. I don't think that's really beautiful. But I will say this. I do want to hear what the Bible has to say, to seek it, to see if it's so. And as such, especially as a host of the program, I need to be able to challenge you. And I'm sorry that that offends you, but I need to be able to...
Oh, no. Michelle, let me say something here, if I could. Please don't think that that offends me. It's the position that you're espousing and proclaiming to people that is so dangerous. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, it says, don't be deceived. The wicked won't inherit the kingdom of God. And it refers to the sexually immoral. The very ones that you would say will enter the kingdom, Paul, with his grace message, said they won't. So you see, there's a very serious difference, and yet you call your message grace, and Paul called his grace, and it's a different grace message.
We should continue to walk with the Lord and follow him as he has taught us in his word. I don't think it's something we should get contentious about, but it is quite an interesting and very crucial topic that we should deliberate over.
I agree with you. Thank you very much, Christy. I appreciate that. Robert is calling.
Hello.
Hello.
What I see, this whole discussion of Paul being a sinner is, Paul is showing Christianity is a struggle. We have our old self. We fight that old self. The new one fights the new us, the Christian, day by day by day, has to fight sin. You have to fight it. Paul says, as a reference to show he is not perfect either, that which I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I do. He's showing us we are all human.
That's not Paul as a sinner, or as a Christian, sir.
But that's what we need. That's what he's showing. There is no license to sin. There is no, my gosh, I'm Christian, I can go out there and murder, and yippee, skippy, I can still go to heaven. That's not the intent of that at all.
Thank you.
I think, Michelle, I want to say amen to what you were trying to get in.
Well, thank you
very
much.
For all the people out there who were saying, amen, Christ, go get him, girl! Because you were saying what we believe.
That in that situation, that he was a man who understood God. He was a man after...
But did he lose his salvation?
I'm going to say no.
It doesn't say why they'll be burned up there, so they insert something according to their theology that they want people to believe. They want people to believe that you can backslide, that you can be a drunkard, a liar, a thief, a serial murderer, and you will remain saved, and that is not what that Bible verse is saying. It's only saying that they'll lose their rewards.
Just a moment. To be fair, it's not... I think you put everyone in a basket and say, everyone believes this. Everyone who doesn't believe like this believes that, and I don't think that's necessarily the correct approach.
Please correct me and show me who doesn't believe that way.
Me?
What do you do about all these eternal security people out there that interpret Romans chapter 7, 14 through 25 as Paul continually doing evil, and they say that's the normal Christian life? What do you do about that?
No one says that that's a normal Christian life. Doing evil is not the normal Christian life. I believe that every day, including you, you sin. And I think that any sin that we commit is an offense to God. And if I am a butterfly, can I go back and be a worm? If I'm wrong, I want to know it.
Okay, well, you see, you're changing grace into a license for immorality. You said before you're an exception. You're not an exception. You're doing exactly the same thing. You are painting a picture for the people that's listening to your radio broadcast. You can go and commit adultery and murder and remain a Christian. That's a license for immorality, a damnable heresy. And you need to change that because your soul, just for preaching that, is in jeopardy.